Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
G-A-L-D-E-M. This song is good.
Welcome to Growing Up with Gal-Dem, the show where we explore the stories, struggles and triumphs of growing up as people of colour. I'm Natty Kasambala.
And I'm Nayella Arboyne. Each week, our guests respond to old diary entries, letters, notes or texts from their younger selves,
helping us understand how their coming of age made them who they are today.
So it was Gal-Dem's print launch recently in the Fancy Standard. But technically, you were not there.
I was not there. I did arrive after the fact, barely got in by the skin of my teeth. And it was shut down, but not in the good way. But I was at WizKid that night.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, yeah. You know what? It was amazing. I think I can talk about it now. It was one of those events where they lock your phone away, which I'd never been to before. Yeah, they were like...
NDA business.
NDA, sign blood packed on your way in. put your phones in those little magnetic cases. And I literally had that thing of like, every time we played a song, I was like reaching for it. And then I would like pretend to film it just to get the itch, you know, scratch the itch of pretending to take all the content and not be in the moment. But that was an amazing gig. Yeah. How was the Gal-Dem party?
It was really fun. The cocktails were based around the themes. There was like a utopia one and a dystopia one, but they were both rum and...
That's quite dystopic.
Did the damage that needed to be done on me.
That's amazing. Who's in the issue this year?
Off the top of my head, why would you do that?
We've got Abra on the cover, right?
Yes.
You're like, issue? What issue?
We do.
What
I edited a nice piece by Zainab, our very own Zainab, which is about kind of the future of black hair care and what that kind of looks like. And it's got a beautiful shoot with it.
What is the future of black hair care? What is the future in a nutshell? What does she say?
I think a lot of it is returning to the aunties.
But what about my edges now? What about edges?
Well,
you know the aunties,
new aunties
edges
in the future.
Okay, cool. I can get
also,
down with that.
It's our first cover that we had that's actually an illustration and not photography, which is kind of cool. What's like CGI-ish? CGI is not the right word. I do not know my terms, but like...
VFX,
animation-y.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's cool.
Amazing. I've got to check it out.
So, our guest today initially started out in musical theatre.
I was going to say, oh, no, she didn't. Oh, yes, she did.
And that is pantomime.
Ooh, that's interesting. I love that. They are inspired by a little band called ABBA, for the fans out there.
And they supported Thames on tour.
Wow. Love that.
Hello, Bella. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Hi, guys.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
For context, it is a Monday morning. I feel like that energy is...
Yeah, that's really... Oh, you've just... Do you know what's so crazy? Sometimes I don't... I forget the days. Everything just merges into one. But today is really giving Monday morning energy.
100%. I completely agree with you. Just before we get started and dig into some more questions, we'd love for you to just describe who you are for our audience and what you do, how you would define what you do and how you show up.
I am a singer, songwriter, R&B artist from the UK, Nigerian heritage. I just make music I think is cool and I put it out there in the atmosphere. And some people like it, which is great. And, you know, makes sure I can create a job out of it, which is great. But yeah, I'm just a creative all around, and I think that's what I was born to do. So that's who I am.
Amazing. Love that. It's always interesting hearing how people, like even this exact same job, or, you know, the same job in quotation marks, and hearing how everyone kind of like defines it for themselves is always so interesting.
I feel like people have to define it the way they need to define it because for their sanity.
Exactly. You're like, it's my purpose. I remind myself of this.
Yeah, because I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
So your new project, Adultsville, is out now. How are you feeling?
I feel great. I feel I'm really glad that it's out in the atmosphere. It took a while to get it done, but I'm really happy it's here now. I'm so happy that people are taking it in. I'm happy. I'm relieved, I think, is the word. This body of work that I've been stressing over for 18 months, it's now into the atmosphere.
Do you find it a struggle to, like, once it's in the world, to kind of let it go? Or is that, like, are you eager for that part to kind of start anew? Because I feel like some people love the insular bit of it and just kind of thinking over everything and reworking and all of that. Whereas others are like, no, I want it to be out in the world and, you know, the rest is not my business.
I think I'm a bit of both. I really like the kind of space that you're in where no one's heard it, but you've heard it and you're like, trust me, it's great. And you can just live in that, trust me. Like, you know, when they say source, trust me, bro. Like, that's where I will be living. And it's like, yeah. But it is stressful, all the things that you have to do up until the point that it's released. So release is a relief because you're like, oh, thank God I've done all the things that I need to do before it comes out. So, yeah, I'm a bit of both. I'm 50-50. When I'm in the creative process, I want to stay there. But now that it's released, I'm like, I don't want to go back.
There's always that thing when you release a project, once it's kind of out there, it no longer belongs to you.
Which it's not mine anymore.
It's kind of freeing. For
sure. Yeah, 1,000,000%. It's to serve other people now. I can't do anything about it. If I've sung a bum note on this song, it's out now. Can't do nothing about it. I love that. I really do love it. It's done.
Or we could all do like a Beyonce on Renaissance where she's low-key changing little bits constantly.
You know what's so crazy? I've known about that technique for time where you can replace audios. Yeah, you can actually replace audios on DSPs. But I never thought I'd ever have to use it. But now I might just have to do what she's doing. Oh, I forgot an ad lib on the second verse. I'm just gonna add that quickly.
I'm just gonna quickly pop that in.
Someone's talking trash about me. Quickly remove the sample.
Do you get what I mean?
I take it back.
I never meant it.
That's so funny. Another question I'm always curious about is when it comes to, I guess it's like asking a favorite child, but I still want to ask the question anyway. Do you have a song that right now is resonating with you the most? Did you have a little favourite when you were making it? Is there any favouritism happening in that camp?
I feel like, for me, genuinely, my favourite song changes depending on the day, depending on my mood, depending on how I'm feeling. For a long time, my favourite song was always Something, and then it was Prototype, and right now it's Stuck. Really love that one. and then In the Moment has its moments, no pun intended, and Garden will always be that song for me. It's so ethereal. It feels like you're on drugs, and I love that for the song. So yeah, and right now a lot of people are vibing with Adultsville, the actual title track, which I get. I'm just moaning on this project, and I do love it. I really do love having a moan.
No, I absolutely hear that. 100%.
So you also worked with the incredible Ari Penn-Smith for this EP, and he's written with Beyonce, Wizkid, Snow Allegra, Mahalia, who we've had on the podcast back in May. What was that kind of creative journey like working with him?
He is the best person in my life, and that's just it. He's like my best friend. He's just so talented, and he's just so great. Like, you know when you can't say enough good things about someone? And one thing I love about him is that as talented and as incredible as he is, he's actually getting better. He's so dedicated to learning and growing and being better, and he's actually doing it. And I think that was the most inspiring bit about working with him, is like, I look up to him musically, and to see that he's still dedicated to being the best is like, just mind-blowing. And he's so invested. Like, he'll call me at 2 a.m. saying, I've got an idea for a song, and I'm like, do you not rest? Is this,
when will you rest?
When will you rest? But I used to think I was the only person who felt about music so deeply, and then I met him and I was like, oh right, cool, we're on the same level, we're both crackheads, we both like, we're inside, I want to be a music, I've met another I want to be a music type person.
Awesome. And now to talk a bit more about wanting to be in music, I feel like the first song I ever heard of yours was 'Cause You Can.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I remember, and like, to be still one of my favourite songs to this day, on one of those playlists where you're like, I can listen to any of these songs 10 times in a row. And it's like, and I'll just do that for one journey just to like pick me up. But what I loved about it so much was how at first it kind of sounds like this love song or a song about like this toxic love affair.
Yeah.
And then I read a little bit deeper into it and I kept digging and I watched the video. And when I found out that it actually had this other meaning about your relationship with, you know, sickle cell, it just like blew my mind as a song, but also like about you as a writer, and like just for you to be able to kind of translate that personal experience into something that felt so universal.
Yes.
Just wanted to hear a bit more about your relationship with that song, your relationship with, I guess, like starting to channel your own personal stuff into your storytelling. Like, what's that journey been like for you?
I've always, it's so crazy because I've always been into like poetry and stuff and English, and those are my best subjects. I didn't know that I was going to be able to translate it into songwriting. Eventually, I started off on the stage. So when you are a performing artist, you don't really write any of your own stuff. You kind of, you're given things and then you perform it. And so I remember my mum encouraging me, yeah, you need to start writing your own songs. And I was like, girl, you don't know nothing about nothing. Bye. You know, when I got into songwriting, I kind of, there was this big development stage and I was like, oh, these skills are really transferable, like the creative writing, the poetry. And so I was in LA when I wrote that song, and I was in a session with SOS, incredible producers, and we were just talking about how I could personify. I hadn't written a song about my journey with sickle cell or sickle cell in general. And I was like, how do I personify it without being so explicit? Because one thing about me is like, I want to be the artist that has not the, like the R&B artist that happens to have sickle cell, not the, you know, the sickle cell artist. I think that's wild. Like, and I don't like being defined by my shortcomings. So I was like, how do I write a song about it without it being about it? And we just kind of, I was like, let's make sickle cell a person. And then I can direct all of my energy and all my feelings towards said person. So I made it easier for me to write it like that. I love personifying things. Adultsville is about personifying a time in place, a place in time. So yeah, I'm a bit of a like make-believe fairies and all of that good stuff. So if I can turn something that's meaningless or nothing into something, I'm there. So I think that's how that came about.
It's also like, I guess it enables you to be more vulnerable in that you can say truly how you feel without like feeling too exposed, but it's also like really cathartic, because like if you could speak to, like if I could speak to anxiety, or if you could speak to some of these things that kind of weigh on us, like the things you would say to them, you know, it just really made me think about that.
You never really know what to say to like self-soothe when you're going through it, but if it was a person standing in front of you, I'm pretty sure you'd have more of a direct approach. But I also feel like there's no such thing as being too exposed to music. Like, it's music. You can't smack a song. You're not gonna smack the song. You can't, like, what am I always tell people, like, I'm not a really great communicator in real life. I try to be, but like about really deep things, I'd rather cry blood. So I put most of my feelings in my songs, because you can't smack the song, and you can't smack me for making a song. It's just a song. It's how I feel, but you can't, you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm all about putting your vulnerabilities in the music.
I also love kind of making your audience work for the message a bit. Not every day Spoonfeed does. Sometimes we need to decipher what you're talking about.
Use your brain. Use your brain. I like it.
So I guess I wanted to ask, in like an ideal world where there are no agents or PR people hovering around your head, who would you absolutely love to collaborate with?
Frank Ocean.
Ooh.
That's my king right there. Yeah, Frank Ocean. Where is he? Honestly, I will actually take time out of music to find him myself personally. Like, I will go on the journey myself. Frank Ocean, Drake, SZA. Those are my top three collaborations of all time. If Brandy wants to come here and sing a song as well,
stop it.
Yeah. I absolutely love.
I really do see SZA in your future, in your close future.
Amen.
Can you imagine? That's the one I think about a lot.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I claim
it. Not a dry eye in the house.
Not a dry eye in the house. Be depressed together. I love.
We're just going to take a quick break and we'll be back after this for the extract.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I think it might be time for us to move on to your lovely extract. So if you could, before you read it out, just give us a little bit of context about the piece that you've chosen to read for us today.
Okay, so this is one of the like first songs I ever tried to write. I say try because it was a trying time. I like imagery, like I said, like personification and stuff like that and all of that stuff. And when my manager showed me this again, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I did do that. I don't know how old I was, maybe 17, maybe 18. I don't know. Yeah, this is one of the first songs that I ever wrote. And I never thought that these songs would be dig up in 2022. So you guys are very, very lucky. I hide my
shame. This is from the archives.
Yeah, I hide my shame very well, but somehow I'm here. Should I read it?
Yes, please.
I pledge allegiance to you, you that synonymous with my pain, you that reminds me I didn't try, you that reminds me I didn't gain. You see the stars in aligning and our skies never blue. Paint the city red with the blood on your shoes. Now I'm sipping on this liquor, call me red, white and blue. Ain't that the truth? Oh, well, I've been a sad little child. Wow, for a time.
And 17, that's deep.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit of the context around that and where you were when you wrote this.
I was in a relationship for 4 years from the time I was 16 to 20. And so I think this was after the first time we broke up. You know how you have relationships where you have the first time you break up and then the last time you break up? And then
on, off.
Do you get what I mean? Right. So it was on for 2 years straight and then it was like choppy for like 2 years afterwards. I had wasted so much time. I think because we were around the same circuits a lot and it wasn't something like I could detach from easily. He was just around. And so I kind of wanted to like pledge allegiance to the white flag. Like I'm surrendering, like I'm giving up. Like I'm not, like I don't care anymore. Like I have to give up. And so I just wanted to play on the colors of like the flag. And I think is it the Declaration of Independence?
Yes, we were trying to work out. We're like, is this the American flag? It feels like it.
Yeah, it's the American flag. It's the British one. I think the Declaration of Independence is like, I pledge allegiance to the flag, one nation under God, indivisible. So I wanted to play on that in the lyrics as well. Just like patriotism, but to the white flag, which is surrendering. So yeah. Paint the city red with the blood on your shoes, like you've stepped on my heart and now your shoes are bloody, or you're wearing some Louboutins, whatever you want. White liquor, red, white and blue, I'm sad, you know? So yeah, I just wanted to, I wanted to play around.
You know, it's so interesting because I think, and maybe this is actually coloured by some of the other, or Black History Month or some of the politics around right now. When I read it, I felt like it was so political at the same time. And it feels like it could literally... I was like, oh, is she, like, unpacking, like, patriotism, nationalism? Like, what is this... Where is this, like, pain kind of coming from? And I think it's really interesting that it can feel so... It feels, like, so emotive and so kind of... Yeah, like, visceral in a way. The way that you're kind of talking about these blues and, like, your religion and, like... Yeah, I'm so, like, fascinated by how... I'm fascinated, I think, with your, like, relationship to your emotions as much as to words as well. Like, how did you kind of access that kind of, like...
So am I.
Passion, you know?
I think I'm very intense. I think being an artist was the only profession I could really be in, because if I was at Lidl scanning, I'd be scanning with such passion. I'd be like, yes, you bought bread today.
They scan with passion. The speed in Lidl.
You bought bread, you bought eggs. I'll be there. So yeah, I think I've always been a really intense woman. And I think music has been the best outlet for me. Words, art, I would say, has been the best outlet for me, because sometimes conversations fail me and like I can't really describe, like there needs to be a I'm really dramatic, but there needs to be like a production on how I feel right now, because if I just say I feel sad, it's a very gross understatement. And so I try to explore how to, you know, I'm also Nigerian, so we have a very, very colorful way of like, You know, even when we insult people, it's not just like you're an idiot. It's like your forefathers did something mad, so that you are now. It's very poetic. It's very beautiful in the way we talk to people. Do you get what I'm saying? I think that's what it is. I think I need to find the most creative way to paint a picture so that you understand that I'm not just conveying, like, it's really complex. Like, this sadness is not just, I'm sad. There's a complexity to this sadness that I can't really articulate with just a conversation. So, yeah.
I guess, what kind of lessons have you learned about love, especially around, like, boundaries and, like, wanting peace?
What have I learned about love? I've learned that the love that enters your life is a reflection of the love that you have for yourself, a direct reflection of the love that you have for yourself. How you view yourself is how other people view you, and so the situations that you find yourself in are going to be indicative of how you view yourself. Again, with those boundaries, the boundaries that you set for yourself, the things that you tell yourself, the things that you believe for yourself, what you put out is what you're going to get. That's what I learned about love. I've also learned that I only operate well in unconditional settings. And I know that most love now is conditional. And I know we talk about boundaries and stuff, but I feel like boundaries are still very welcome in unconditional love. Because if the love is unconditional, you are understanding of each other's boundaries. Do you get what I'm saying? So I can only operate in unconditional love, and I can only give unconditional love. And my love is conditional when I feel like I'm not safe. Safety is a big, big, big thing for me because, like I said, I'm very intense and I'm a raw, open nerve. So if I feel like at any point I'm not protected, there's no casing around this raw, open nerve, I switch off, or I'm just like, no, there's no access here. Those are the things that I've learned about love, is that it's an inside job. It's from the inside out.
I'm so interested in everything you just said, and like, the kinds of, I don't know, yeah, like that acceptance of, you know, like I need these things in order to feel safe, in order to thrive. And as someone who feels intensely and kind of, you know, has that rawness about you, I'm really intrigued to hear more about like your process of healing and what that looks like alongside these kind of like tempests of emotions. Like, do you feel like writing helps you heal? Do you feel like there are particular things and rituals and practices that you use to kind of help prepare yourself after feeling vulnerable or after, you know, kind of going through these emotions?
I think the first step because I've been through the emotions, I think the first step to my healing was understanding that it's going to be just that, an active word, like healing. Not healed, because when I thought I was healed and shit hit the fan, I questioned everything. And so when I got back to a point where I was like, right, okay, cool, I need to really exhale and understand that this is a process, and you're gonna have bad days and you're gonna have good days and X, Y, and Z. I think that was the first step to my actual healing, not my fake performative healing.
Yep, completed it now.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I'm a better person. I'm 2.0. What do I do to heal? I love solitude. I love being by myself. I'm an only child, but so I don't know. I eat good food with good people. These are just like the outward things. I'm a very spiritual person. I love me some Jesus chair. So I pray, even when I am angry at God, I talk to God like I hold his singlet and I say, hello, something needs to give. Hi. What else? I just feel like making active decisions to go against what I would naturally do has been a very big part of my healing. Like, I want to wild out. I want to smack someone. I want to tear this place to pieces. But don't. Because one day, you're going to look back and thank yourself for not. I think thinking about future me really helps the decisions that I make in the now. Because I thank past me for putting on all the work that she has to be at this point. So I'm praying 5 years from now, that me is going to go, well done, Bells. Thank you for not smacking this person, because it would have blocked your blessing and we wouldn't be here, you know?
Dead.
So, yeah, that is kind of where I'm at with my journey. It's just I'm on this weird wave of acceptance. It's been a really transformative time for me, but I'm now on the acceptance wave of like, well, that's just how it is, and it will change if you want it to, but you just have to keep your head down and yes, this person thinks you're a dickhead, it's fine, they thought Jesus was too, it's okay. Like,
yeah, it feels like you've got an awareness. Like, I think sometimes people think that all growth comes in like an active change, whereas so much of it, I think, comes from just like sitting with yourself and understanding how you are and what you need and what's best for
exactly.
you and what you want, rather than being like, oh no, I need to just reinvent myself into something that I'm not.
I can't get away from the fact that I'm an emotional little girl. Like, I really can't escape that reality. I can't. So I have to be like, okay, what works right now? Do you need to come off Twitter right now? Yes. Do you need to come off Instagram right now? Do you need to promote yourself more because you're scared? Yes. But, you know, just do it scared anyway, and like whatever happens. Do everything that you need to do, because someone somewhere is going to be like, she inspires me and da 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 da. So I need to think of my why. I need to think of, you know, the reason. And then I get through it.
Yeah. I think finding that introspection is really important when it comes to your personal growth. I guess since you wrote this, how have your relationships evolved, or how you kind of show up in relationships?
I cut their nigga off. That's one. I think I was very, I think not uninterested, but I think my career really took precedent. Like, it became my number one priority. And I had to actually realize that I'm a career girl, one of those babes that aunties really frown at. Like, they really hate my kind.
That's the Capricorn bit.
Yeah, they hate my kind. And I my career trumps all. So any relationship that I've been able to, or situationship that I've been able to like find myself in, is because I wanted to and not because I felt the need to be in a relationship. And I think that's the highest form of love, is when it's a choice and not an obligation, because I feel like, oh, I need to be, oh, my friends are, I don't give a heck. I walked into this room and I saw lots of money, and that's what I want. And that's where I want to be. So yeah, I think my relationships have been carefully, apart from this one guy, he slipped between the cracks. I was not expecting it. And normally my relationships are very carefully crafted, and I choose you and you don't know I'm plotting on you. But ooh, had to cut that one off as well. It just come and scattered the whole plan. But
there's always one.
There's always one. It's just, yeah, why did you do that? But yeah, I choose who I want to be around. I choose my relationships. I'm also over the whole, like, as women, we are with people who like us, and we're never really with people that we like. It's always...
Yes,
we just oh, this guy likes
get
me.
Get what we're given.
Are chosen. What I mean? Yeah.
Like, this guy likes me, and I'm so conditioned to think that maybe someone else might not. So I'm just going to take what a man is approaching me. So, wow, I need to take this advance or whatever. So I've been in the business of mutual attraction recently, and it's serving me very well.
We're all nodding our heads vigorously, yeah. Just for the listeners. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, and it's working very well, because I'm actually excited about people now, you know, not just like, oh yeah, this guy's messaging me. Swear down, you know?
Get out of my DMs.
Honestly. So I think that's how I've been approaching relationship, as a choice. It's so strange, because I'm a monogamous babe. I know that for a fact. One thing, there's just some things that you can't change about certain people. Me personally, as new age and as progressive as I can be, that open relationship, shit, throw it in the bin. for me personally. But I watched this like love coach, Shannon Boodram, and she is married with two kids right now, but her relationship started as an open relationship. And I was intrigued because I was like, what's going on here? And then she was like, it's just because there's no like hold on it. There's no like responsibility, or there's no binding factor here. The fact that we choose to be in each other's presence every day is like, it's almost guaranteed that we're supposed to be together, because you actually, not only can you leave, like you can actually leave, like the rules of our relationship is you can leave and do whatever you want to do, but they chose not to. And I like the concept of that. I still want the confines of monogamy for me personally, but the idea that, you know, we can leave at any time, even though we're in a monogamous relationship, it's not because it's do or die. Marriage is not do or die. You can't come and kill yourself for something that might not happen for everyone. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm in that space of like, if I'm here, it's because I really want to be.
Yeah, you got to be intentional about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's amazing. I think we'd like to move on to the next section, which is just, and luckily this has been a lovely, uplifting conversation, but we always want to, I guess, like reflect on a little moment of joy. Ooh. That our guests have experienced in their childhood. Do you have any specific memories or like periods that stick out in your mind of when you experienced a pure joy?
I think going to, when I was, I think 3 or 4, I was having a lot more crisis than I did like sickle cell episodes. So I was in a hospital a lot more, and the hospital planned a trip to Disneyland for all of the patients. And we actually traveled to France by black taxi. It was amazing. And I went with my nurse and my mum, and I was rapping in the car with the white nurse, which is great. It was given Hamilton before Hamilton was Hamilton. Do you know what I mean?
Stop it.
Or Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's the vibe I had in my head.
It was amazing. But yeah, we took a taxi trip to Paris, and we went to Disneyland, and it was amazing. I was proper, like, joy. I still remember her. Her name was Claire. I love her. Wherever she is, I love you.
Shout out Claire.
I love that so much.
Yeah, no, it was
great.
It's
so funny, the things that pop up when you have to just like think about something like that, and you're like, damn, when was the last time I thought about Claire?
Do you know what I mean?
Claire's doing okay.
Great. Yeah, no, I think, wow, I'm going to start doing that. When was I truly joyful? Maybe I need to go back to Disneyland.
I think so.
I went to Fort Park last week and I enjoyed every second.
I went to Alton Towers recently, trying to connect to that inner child. I had such a good time.
I had an amazing time.
Also, you can just scream. How often can you scream as loud as you possibly can without getting like
crazy
taken away?
That was it. I hadn't been on stealth like before, and because
That one I have to drop.
Because every time I go to Fort Park, I'm like, I'm not going on stealth.
That's not for me.
But this time I did, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, I did it. I actually did it.
It's so fun, that like natural, just the adrenaline of just.
I was just like,
Let's go.
Do you know what's crazy? It was worse on the way up than it was down.
That's the one, right? It's the anticipation, and you're just like leaning backwards, being like, "Well, mum, I love you."
It's the weight in there, especially because everyone around me was like, "Yeah, let's do it stealth." Da, 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 da. And I'm like, "You guys are not understanding. Stealth is literally just up and down. The whole ride is up and down. That means that is the deadliest ride here, because all the other rides have intricate
in like Europe. I think it's the tallest one.
I was like, all the other rides have intricate loops and holes to make it exciting. This one is just up and down. That means something terrible is gonna happen on this one. I was like, nah, but I did it, and I was like, you know what? I'm glad I did it. I can say I've been on it, and yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, all adults, you should go back to a theme park.
If you can hack it, please do, because joy, real joy.
So moving on to our last segment, what advice would you have for that younger version of you, around 17 who's dealing with heartbreak and heartache.
Stand up. Stand up. I would say.
You're very unserious.
I am done.
Stand up. I would honestly say, don't do anything differently. Be the emotional person that, like, you are. You being who you were was perfect for who I am now. I would thank younger me for being emotional and learning how to write songs and channel that emotion. The only thing I would say is, like, believe in yourself a lot more, because that has carried over to here. I hope 5 years in the future me is like, I believe in myself now. I still have moments where of self-doubt. So I would say build that confidence from younger. But apart from that, you know, thanks.
Amazing. And what do you think that younger self would think of where you are right now?
Oh, she'd be throwing up everywhere of excitement. Just, you did what? You met who? that's what it would be. Sometimes I have to remember that. Like, I used to pray. You know the pray that you get headache from, and there's snot running down one nose and the tears are hot. And it's like, Robosoto kai, yeah, 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 yeah. That's what I used to pray for this career. I spray so hard. Just get headaches. You know, you go to sleep. So I think she would be so proud and like so grateful and so proud of God as well. I'd be like, yo, the sniffles weren't in vain. I like that. We're in this together. So yeah, I think she'd be proud. I think she'd also tell me, like, bro, I prayed for this, so all this I want to give up and I'm tired nonsense, throw it in the bin because we're here now. So yeah,
I like that both you talking to your younger self and your younger self talking to you are giving yourself the hard truths as well as the good stuff. That's kind of like a nice energy.
I'm a delusional babe. I really am. I choose to live in delusion. I think delusion is the best state of living because you get things done in delusion. Honestly, truly, you do. You step out on faith in delusion. But when you're hit, when life decides to basketball to you, you have to go, okay, cool. Let's take a break. Let's leave delusion and just be like, okay, so in order for us to keep operating in delusion, we have to understand the truth. And then we can go back to living whatever delusional life we're living.
Yeah, I love that. Very love pragmatic. That.
Stay in a delusional state.
with restrictions, with realistic boundaries.
Realistic boundaries.
With realistic boundaries, but delusion in the middle. Thank you so much, Bella. Yes. You've been enlightening.
Thank you for having me, guys.
This has been an II Studios production. Thank you so much for listening. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget, you can sign up to become a member at gal-dem.com for access to exclusive discounts with our favourite brands and partners, early access to tickets for Galdem events, an advanced copy of our annual print issue, and so much more. Make sure you're following us on all major social media at galdemzine or visit our website at gal-dem.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.